Well, good morning to all of you again, both those of you who are here in this room, those who are joining us online. It's exciting and good to be back here this morning. So for those of you who don't know me, as Ed just introduced me, I'm the Associate Pastor of Discipleship here at Grand Rapids Evangelical Free Church. And so if you're joining us, if this is your first time, whether in person or online, just a special welcome to you. And especially, I want to give you a little bit of a heads up. So even as Ed mentioned here, about a month ago, we received the news that our senior pastor, Ken, was resigning. And last Sunday was his last Sunday. And so about the time that the news went out that Ken's time here was going to be up, I was also asked to preach this Sunday. And to be very honest, I've been praying a lot about what God wants us to hear today as we as a church family step into this new phase. And here's one of the realities that I've been praying over and that I've been wrestling with. It's the reality that there's a wide range of emotions that those of us who consider GREFC our church home have felt. And I'll be honest, you know, I'm a feel last, and so some of us, we still are feeling these things. And for some of us, there's a lot of sadness, and we have to acknowledge that. Ken's been a close friend. He's been a mentor. He's been through our griefs and our struggles, and he's been through our breakthroughs and our joys with us. And so for some of us, we're actually in a grieving process. I also want to recognize there's others of us, we're just not there. We might not have known Ken very well. Or you know, maybe we just didn't click with him. And so we might be feeling a little bit like, we might be feeling unaffected by it all or kind of indifferent. Or maybe even a little bit of a sigh of relief. Or perhaps, and I think this is probably the most likely, we're probably feeling a mixture of a whole bunch of different emotions. And I'll be honest, that's the camp I'm in. Yet, I believe that there's one thing that all of us are experiencing to one degree or another. And that's this. A little bit of uncertainty. We just don't know what's ahead. And things feel a little bit shaky right now. And to be honest, we don't like that. The transitions and anxiety leave us with more questions and what ifs than we could ever know what to do with. And this year, I gotta be honest, I mean, 2020, it's been a big year with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of what ifs, and a lot of unanswered questions. So the question is, what do we do? And here's the question that I have kept praying over in anticipation of being up here this Sunday. And it's also the question that I want us to wrestle with this morning. And we're going to put it up on the screen here. What do we, GREFC, as a community and as individuals, what do we need to hold on to and press into as we step into this time of transition? Now, today, the main text that we're going to be looking at together is one of the big leadership transitions that happens within the Bible. And it can be found in Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8. And in it, Moses reminds the people of Israel of some critical truths that they and we need to hold on to and press into, especially in leadership transitions. Now, before we look at this text together, I need to make a couple of really critical clarifying statements. I am not, in any way, shape, or form, making any comparisons between Moses and Ken, or Joshua, or any present leadership, or even future leadership that will be here at this church, and that does include me as well. Our focus is on the truths that we all need to hold on to during a time of leadership transition. So with that in mind, let's start reading in Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. Here's what it says. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel. He said to them, I am 120 years old today. Now he's doing this on his birthday. Okay, I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan, the river. And the Lord God, your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them, and Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole testament that I have commanded you. Now, here's critical. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in all the sight of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now, what we just read is the very end of Moses' last sermon to the people of Israel. And Moses, after having led the people of Israel for 40 years in the desert, he's back at the border of the land that God has promised to give to the people of Israel. And the people, they have this amazing land in front of them, one that God has promised them. But it's also a land full of challenges, of battles, and to be honest, a lot of uncertainty as to what the future is going to hold for them. And yet, Moses, he won't be going in with them. And so, as they stand there looking into this uncertain future, Moses reminds the people of Israel of three key truths that they and that we need to press into and hold on to as we head into a time of transition. Now, we got our main question back up here on the screen. What do we, GREFC, as a community and individuals need to hold on to and press into in a time of transition? Here's the first, and it's probably the most critical. We must pursue God and hold on to his goodness. Now, for many of us, if we have our Bibles in front of us, we might see a title over this section of text that we just read, and it probably says something like this: Joshua to succeed Moses. Now, titles like this, they're put into the Bible as they're kind of helps that we put in after the Bible is written as a quick frame of reference for what's happening in this section of the Bible. And here's, while a statement like Joshua is to succeed Moses is true, I think if Moses were to actually hear that, he might actually have an issue with that title. I think he might. And here's why. The statement encourages us to focus on the human leadership transition instead of who Moses wants the people to focus on. So let's put verses 1 through 6 back up on the screen again. Now check this out. Up on the screen, in the blue, is everything that Moses says about himself. He really only basically says this: I'm old, I'm not going with you. In the green is everything he says about Joshua. He gets like a phrase: Joshua's the new leader. That's what he gets. Now, next slide. Here's everything that he says about God. It's the yellow, and it's all this. He will go over before you. He will be the one who ultimately fights the battles. He gave you Joshua to help. And even, check this out, even Joshua's leadership is connected to who God is and what he will do. And best of all, this: be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. More than half of what Moses says in this short section has to do with God, not us, and not our leaders. So what's the point? God is. Our focus in transition and uncertainty must be him. And you might be like, why? And here's why. And here's another slide for this. Because transition and uncertainty are ultimately about our willingness to trust God. It's ultimately about our willingness to trust God. Now, before we go on, I want to make sure that we don't miss a critical point here. And you might have seen it already, but let me ask you a question really quick. Who is Moses talking to here? Has Moses actually said anything other than at like the very end to Joshua, who is the future leader? Like, he is talking, Moses is talking directly to the people of Israel. He's addressing all of them first. And it's only after Moses addresses the whole gathering of the people that he then turns and addresses Joshua specifically. And when he does, he pretty much tells them exactly what he told everybody else. He just says, Joshua, this is for you too. Which means, as we're looking at this text, everything that is being said here applies to all of us as a whole, every single one of us. So let's be together, or be reminded together of why we hold on to God and what we hold on to. And so here's a first reminder. Here's what we need to hold on to. He is a good father who has our best in mind. Now, to be honest, we say that and it can sound like a really simple truth. It can be really easy to just like mentally agree with. And another thing entirely to embrace that in our hearts, especially when things get hard. And remember where the people of Israel, they're standing at this moment in this text. They are on the border of the land that God has promised to them. But it's also filled with people who are used to war. They're used to battles. They have fortified cities. They have chariots, which in a modern day equivalent, these are tanks. They got tanks, okay? And what do the people of Israel have? They have tents and 40 years of wilderness survival skills, which is pretty great in a desert, but is not so helpful when they're looking to face trained armies with tanks. Giants too, yeah. And the transition from the desert into this new land would have been terrifying. And in fact, if we were to rewind the clock 40 years, these people's parents, they faced the exact same situation. And the people of Israel, they looked in the land and they said this, God, you're bringing us here to be slaughtered. Like, how could going into this land that you have in front of us, how could that be a good thing? So what did they do? They decided that they didn't trust God and they'd rather stay in the desert. And so they actually never made it into the good land that God had for them. And now, 40 years later, their kids are faced with the same choice. Which is why Moses reminds the people not only of what God will do as he brings them into this land, he mentions that in verse 3, but also what they have already seen God do through the battles that he just brought them through. And Moses references those in verse 4. And so Moses is reminding them and us to trust God. Hold on to the reality of his goodness, even in the midst of uncertainty and difficulty. And to be honest, this is the same reminder that we have in a verse that we love a lot. Romans 8:28. God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That means we got to hold on to trust pretty hard. But we have to remember that God is a good father. That it's central, it's foundational, who has our best in mind. Now, here's a second reminder, and we got a slide for that too, I think. And I'm only going to mention this one very briefly. God is in control. In verses 3 through 6, the statement, the Lord will, is mentioned 5 times. Okay, pretty much everything hinges on what God's going to do. See, not only is God a good father who has our best in mind, he has the ability to make it happen. Yet, but in this text, it almost feels like Moses is talking about the reality of God being in control. It's almost like an afterthought, like, yeah, duh. But it's assumed that God says he will do exactly what he says he'll do because he can and he will. And we can depend on him because he's good and he's in control. And the reason why I feel like this is more of an afterthought is that there's a deeper issue here. And the deeper issue for the people of Israel and for us is not if God is in control or not, but if we're willing to trust him. God is in control, so what are we going to do? Are we willing to trust him? And I got to be honest, this is a really critical issue for us as a church as we enter a period where we're between senior pastors. But I also have to recognize this is a critical truth for us as we face rapid fire change and uncertainty in our day-to-day lives. See, one of the big challenges, and I gotta be honest, even for me, as we look ahead into the future as a church, is we actually have to be careful with our what-ifs. And here's a what-if that we might be feeling. What if it takes longer than we would like to find a new senior pastor? Okay? That what-if alone can start a chain reaction that leads to lots of other what-ifs. Or how about this one? What if eventually my kid's school will have to move into online only? Or what if the holidays look different this year because of COVID-19? Or what if somebody close to me gets COVID-19? Then what? Each one of these what-if questions launches us into tons of other what-if questions. And here's what happens. Before long, we get so buried in these what-if questions that we become overwhelmed and fearful of anything ahead of us. And because we don't, and we can't at times, get answers to our what-if questions, we feel trapped in this place of uncertainty where life is shaky, and we become filled with fear. And I gotta be honest, no one likes to be there long. And so here's typically what happens. It means we either go down a path where we do our best to run away from what's uncertain and trying to cover it, either by ignoring it, just like putting it out of our mind, or turning to things that will help us escape the questions. Or on the other hand, we work really hard to make plans that we believe will provide us with that feeling of certainty and security. But here's the challenge. How well does it ultimately work? We're not in control. And if there's anything that COVID-19 has shown us this year, it's that we're not in control. And so as a result, many of us are experiencing the reality of our what-if questions, leaving us feeling either burdened to carry the whole weight of the world on our shoulders, or we're numb to it as we try to run away from it all. Is that what God wanted for the people of Israel as they were on the border to the promised land? He wanted them to trust him. He wanted them to pursue him and experience the reality of his goodness as they depended on him, even in the midst of uncertainty. I gotta say this, the land of Israel, actually, that land itself has some challenges with it. And going into that land actually placed them in a place of dependence on God. There was a lot of uncertainty there. So what does this look like for us? It starts by bringing all of those what-if questions to the one who already has the answers. We turn to God in prayerful dependence on him. See, we don't know what's ahead, but God does. And he's a good father who has our best in mind. So instead of running away from the questions or trying to solve all of life's problems, we start by praying and trusting God with the outcome, regardless of if it's one we like or not. See, we won't ever have full certainty about how our circumstances will turn out. We might not even get our what-if questions answered. But we will always be able to be certain of our good, loving God. And so this means as we feel the weight of those what-if questions, we don't actually just stop and live in them, but we actually bring those what-if questions to God and surrender the desire for answers and are willing to accept the outcome with open hands of what God will bring about. We trust him. And as we do that, we press into him and we pursue him. Now, here's one more reminder about God that we need to and we have to hold on to in transition and uncertainty as a church community. God is still with us. Moses says this not once, but twice. He says it to the entire people of God in verse 6, and then he summarizes it and says it again to Joshua specifically in verse 8. Let me read it again for you. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. God is the one we cling to. God is the one we pursue. We can have certainty and confidence because no matter what, he's not going anywhere. A few weeks ago, Ken made a statement which is really true, and it's reflected even in this passage. He said this, "All pastors are ultimately interim pastors." See, over time, leadership changes, but God's leadership never does. And here's the great thing. God knows what's ahead for us, and he is walking with us into it. See, God wasn't sending the people of Israel into this land alone. Yet a lot of times when we lose sight of pursuing God and trusting his goodness, we can quickly feel like God has sent us on a mission and told us to go and do it alone. Now, here's a for instance. Let's put this in the New Testament. Let's look at Matthew 28, 19 through 20. This is a text we look at a lot, and it's called the Great Commission. Here's what it says. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Now, we might not like to admit this, but for most of us, when we hear this mission that God has given us, we can often feel a lot like the people of Israel as they're on the border of this promised land. Now, see, we can look at it and we're like, you know, there's good ahead. There's a good land, a good adventure. This is people of Israel. And God's goodness will be seen all over the place as they transition into the promised land. Now, in the same way, joining with Jesus in the mission of making disciples who will turn around and make disciples is a great adventure. And the reality is God's goodness will be seen all over the place when we step into intentional and relational disciple making. But the reality in both situations, for the Israelites and ours, is that, yeah, there will be challenges ahead. It won't be easy. For the people of Israel, there were battles ahead, and they didn't know for certain if they were going to make it out alive at the end. They actually didn't know. And for us, if we were to put that in our own terms, the reality for us is we don't know how people are going to react. Or maybe as we go through this process of walking with somebody else, we might actually realize we still have growing to do. Which, by the way, I have to point out, we all do, including myself. We all have growing to do. Or we might be afraid of things coming up in others' lives that we just aren't sure we know how or even want to handle. It's going to get messy. And so the temptation for Israel, and can be for us, is to run away from the challenges and right back to what seems easier and familiar. But as we focus on the challenges that we might face, did you notice something? Did you notice who is missing? Our what ifs that we felt like we need to handle, all those what ifs, the uncertainty, we actually left God out of the picture. You see, we felt like and we acted like we were going it alone. And often when we think about or maybe even hear Matthew 28 quoted, we focus on the mission that God has sent us on. But when we do, we miss a critical statement which makes a huge difference. It's not just a tack on, it is critical. So let's go back and finish verse 20. Jesus says this, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Did you catch that? Jesus himself will be with us always. In fact, the mission that he has given us to make disciples is one that he already went ahead of us into and is still with us on as we pursue and as we trust in him. This statement by Jesus is not just an add-on to the mission that Jesus gives us. It is a critical component of the mission itself. In fact, it is as critical today as it was for the people of Israel as they were standing on the border of the promised land that God had given them. And this is something that we need to see. So let's go to this next slide here. The exact words that Moses used to remind the people to pursue God and trust in his goodness are the exact words that Jesus uses with us. God doesn't just send us on a mission. He includes us in his mission. And he says he will be with us as that mission is unfolding, no matter what happens. So what do we, GREFC, as a community and as individuals need to hold on to as we step into a time of transition? We need to pursue God and hold on to his goodness. But the question is kind of this: where do we start? We need to start by recognizing our dependence on him and trusting him through this transition. And I got to be honest, the best way to do this, to start, is actually to start with prayer. Now, some of you might have noticed there is a card with blank spaces on it in the bulletin today. And we also have some on the tables out front as well. We're going to actually fill in some of the spaces on here. And these are things that we are going to use as prayer prompts, and it actually says on the back, prayer prompts, for us to be praying for as a church family. And also, I got to be honest, if you don't have something to write with, there will be a slide at the end which will have all the points on it, which I will encourage you later to take a picture of. And I'll explain a little bit more of what we're going to do with this and how we're going to use this when we close, but here's the first set of blanks. On this card, it says this: Father, as your family here at GREFC, help us to, and here's the first blanks, pursue you and trust your goodness. Help us to pursue you and trust your goodness. Now, we've spent a lot of time here together looking at why we need to hold on to God together. And that was on purpose. Because if we miss him, then we will focus on the wrong things in these next two points. And they will eventually become a distraction to us rather than the joy that they're meant to be. So let's briefly look at these next two things. Okay, here's this key question again. What do we, GREFC, as a community and as individuals, need to hold on to and press into as we step into a time of transition? Here's a second thing. We join God on his mission. Now here's a quick question for you. What likely would have happened if Joshua stepped into God's mission for the people of Israel alone and went into the land by himself? Would Joshua alone have been able to fulfill the entire scope of the mission that God had for the people of Israel in the land? And while God could do that, God could have brought that through Joshua, that was not his plan. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 31 says, "The Lord will give them over to you," and he's talking to the people as a whole, "and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment I have given you, people of Israel." In the same way, Matthew 28:19 says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." God has invited us and called us to join him on his mission. But yet, sometimes we feel like Matthew 28:19 through 20 should read something like this: "Go, therefore, and support your senior pastor in making disciples of all nations." Or maybe, maybe that's not quite right. Maybe we should put it like this instead: "Go and support your church in making disciples of all nations." But the reminder of who Moses and Jesus are speaking to, it's not the new leadership. It's not Joshua. It's to all of us. Which means for the people of Israel, yep, they had work to do and they had to trust in God in difficult and in good circumstances. They had a good land ahead of them. And God had used Moses to equip the people for what was ahead. They had actually been equipped. See, Moses was with them in the very first battles before the people actually crossed that Jordan River into the promised land. And the reality is that's the work of a leader. The work of a leader is to encourage and equip others as they step into God's mission for them and depend on Christ, which we're going to actually see coming up in a future weeks in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. But one of the big things I've been hearing in this past couple of weeks as we've been entering in this transition, as we've been celebrating Ken's leadership here at GREFC, is that he actually did just that. He called us, he equipped us, he challenged us to step into God's mission that God has ahead for us here as GREFC. And yet, just because there's a transition in senior leadership, senior pastors, doesn't mean that God's mission for us as a whole has changed. And we might be like, well, why? It's because it is and was God's. And this is not only true in the general sense of us in the Matthew 28 sense where we're all called to be disciple makers, but it's also true in the sense that God has a specific vision and mission for GREFC right here in Grand Rapids. And I've got to be honest, it's exciting. I'm excited about it. So here's the question. Will we live into and work within God's mission for us at GREFC, even through the transition of a senior leader? And I'll be honest, it's my prayer that we would. And I want to invite you in and join me in praying this too. Here's the second set of blanks on your prayer card. And we pray it something like this. Father, as your family here at GREFC, help us to join you on your mission. It's God's mission. Help us to join you, God, on your mission. So what do we, GREFC as a community and individuals, need to hold on to and press into in a time of transition? We need to pursue God and hold on to his goodness. We need to join God on his mission. And the third one, we press into the church family. Now, let's briefly jump back to Moses and the Israelites. Now, I don't know if you know this, but roughly one-fourth of the people who are standing and listening to Moses, they actually had no reason to head into the land God promised. They had no reason. God had already given them their new home when they had gone into battle with Moses, their leader. See, their new home was the land of the Amorites that Moses just mentioned. And they had families, they had land, their battles, they were already over. Which means they could have kicked back and they could have gone, hey, you know what, I'm good here, thanks. You got my land, I'm good. But there was still a clear call on their life. They had to press into and care for the rest of God's family. Which meant, and the rest of God's family, they had battles ahead. So as God's family, they leaned into the calling and went with the others who still had fighting for a land to call home. And in the same way, Jesus calls us as his family to press into, to love, and to care for one another like he has with us. Because we're his family. Because of him, we have been made brothers and sisters. And God is our Father. Now, one of the challenges we're going to face ahead as a church is this temptation to distance ourselves from one another because some of what we've come to know and expect as a church, like what we're used to, it's just not going to feel quite the same anymore. And the church family, we're in transition, which means we're going to be struggling to figure some things out. And it may be a while before a sense of normal comes back. But what might happen if instead of distancing ourselves and like, I'm just going to wait and check out and see what happens, what if we actually allowed God to use this transition time to bond us even more closely in unity and Jesus-like love with each other? What if we gave ourselves to each other, lived out the one another's that we read about in the New Testament, and lived into the call that the people of Israel did as they prioritized one another, not out of duty, not with an agenda, not even half-heartedly, but joyfully and genuinely because we're God's family. Now, here's the prayer that I want to invite us all to be praying. Number three. Father, as your family, his family, here at GREFC, Help us to prioritize one another as your family. It's God's family. And let's finish off this last one here too. As we go through this transition, and I'll be honest, those of us who are in positions of leadership would love you to be praying for us. We need you to be praying for us. And I'd encourage you, especially be praying for the elders as they're going through this stuff too. They're wading through a lot of stuff. We need it. And we deeply care about you, and we deeply care about the future that God has for us here at GREFC. So the last blank is this: pray for those who are in leadership, both present leadership, but also future leadership. And we're going to keep these prayer points up on the screen for a bit. And I'd encourage you, if you don't have a pencil or something, take out your phone, take a picture. It's not going to bother me at all. And I want you guys to be praying this. I want us to be praying this. This is my prayer too. And so here's what I'm going to invite us all to do from here on. I want to invite you to join me in making it a point to pray these things daily, starting today through the end of the year. For the rest of 2020, be praying this. And here would be a great way to set this up, a great way to do this. Put this card in a place where you regularly think to pray, a place you regularly go. One of the most natural spots, I'll be honest, it might be actually the kitchen table. We all go there eventually. Take it out, pause for a bit, and let this be a guide for you before your meals. And if you have kids, I would actually highly encourage this. Pray this with them as a whole family at the dinner table before you eat your meal. Just pause before you eat. Or maybe pause with them before you actually go to bed if you pray with them before bed. Or maybe some of us, we like to pray in our car. So put it on the dashboard as you drive to work. Or maybe this, put it on your mirror as you brush your teeth. Put it somewhere where you can keep it regularly on your heart and on your mind. And here's one more thing. This is just a small ask. If you're willing to commit to doing this with me, I would actually love it if we could share stories of what God does in us as a church as we pray these prayers together. So if you'd be willing to commit to this, and teens, I invite you, fill out your own one too. I'd love it. Would you be willing to put a yes on that blue Connect card that is in your bulletin and put your name on it and just drop it in that offering box on your way out? That way, as it gets close to the end of the year, we can actually know who's been praying, and we can actually come back and share good stories of what God's been doing in our own hearts and what God's been doing in our community as we've been praying these things. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up now. And so I want to just end with this, a reminder, the three things we've been talking about. What do we, GREFC as a community and individuals, need to hold on to as we step into a time of transition? We must pursue God and hold on to his goodness. We must join him on his mission. And we press into the church family together. Let's worship God and remember him, because he is where it all starts.